For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Tonight's subject is the mitzvah of honoring one's parents. The mitzvah of kibud av, honoring one's parents. So I think that it's not just a mitzvah, the mitzvah to honor parents. It is actually an essential mitzvah. How do I know that the mitzvah to honor parents is an essential mitzvah? It's not just another mitzvah. It's a core mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that lies at the heart and is a backbone of our religious observance. How would I know that? What evidence is there to the fact that the commandment to honor one's parents is an essential mitzvah, a mitzvah that's central to the whole religion? That's right. It's in the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, it's almost unique in the Ten Commandments in that the first three commandments deal with God, and then you have Shabbos, and the last five commandments deal with social issues: murder, adultery, kidnapping. They're all social issues, issues that relate to society or our relationship with God. Kibud av, honoring one's parents, is a little surprising to see it in the Aseret HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments, because it sounds like a specific thing that a person is supposed to do. It's a mitzvah to honor one's parents, just like a lot of other mitzvahs. I think it's a good question to ask to get things started, is why do you think the mitzvah of honoring one's parents was considered central, so central to Judaism that it's in the Ten Commandments, it's in the Aseret HaDibros? Why is it such a core mitzvah? Why is it so important? So, okay. Ms. Fleisch says, because it relates to appreciation, hakar tatov, a person, what should motivate a person to honor their parents? The fact that they brought them into this world, they took care of them when they needed it, when they were helpless, when they were an infant and a child, they raised them, they gave them everything they needed in order to become an adult and to be self-sufficient. So the debt of hakar tatov, the debt of recognition of the good that one has received from parents is such that it should be expressed in response. A person should be honoring their parents because out of appreciation. And we'll see that the Sefer Achinuch, one of the commentaries that explain mitzvos, says that the reason is because of hakarat hatov, appreciating parents, thanking them. So the suggestion over here is, Fleisch's suggestion is that since hakaras hatov, appreciating the good that one's received, is such a core value of Judaism, that's the reason why kibud av, honoring one's parents, is in the Ten Commandments. So essentially, according to your theory, then it's not so much honoring one's parents as much as that as an example of hakaras hatov, of showing appreciation. Right? Okay. Do we have any other thoughts for... I think that's true. The Sefer HaChinuch, you'll see one of the citations here, bears that out. Any other thoughts for why honoring parents is a core element to such an extent that should actually be in the Aseret HaDibros?
We're all Hashem's children.
Okay. So, in other words, that when the relationship that a child feels to his parents is akin to the relationship that one feels to Hashem, to God, and it's a diminution or an example of the concept of honoring Hashem. So honoring parents is a way, is a connection, is a way to connect to honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then according to that, it would also be a saying that it's a way, it's an example, it's an expression of hakaras hatov, of appreciation and thanks, and you're suggesting it's a way for us to see our parents as a representative, their examples of Hashem, and so that honoring our parents is like a segue or an example to honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Good, yeah. Okay, that's the third thing. I can't take credit for this outline.
I really like
it. Yeah, it's really good, I know. It's not mine, though. The thing is... Rabbi Freundlich, there's all these essential outlines he sent me. It was really great. We happen to be studying the Gemaras and Kiddushin in Yeshiva that relate to these mitzvahs. But he sent me this outline. It's really tremendous. I was really impressed with how well it's done. I have a couple additional things, but I can't really take credit for it, but I'm very much embracing it. It's really great. So the third thing that you're mentioning is the role of parents in terms of Mesorah. In other words, you know, where do we get, for many of us, our primary ideas about religion, about Hashem, about service of Hashem, about what our job in this world is? We get it from our parents, either from direct initiatives and directives from parents, or from modeling of parents. The whole Mesorah, our whole belief system, is really rooted in the confidence that we have in the creed and religion that our parents are giving over to us. There's an assumption that a father would not lie to his son, and based on that assumption, we say that if father to father, mother to mother, going back, we have a tradition of Torah being given at Har Sinai, so that's a core belief for us. If our sense of values in religion, for many of us, come from the values we've learned from our parents. So really, keeping the Mesorah, keeping tradition going, is, in order to accomplish that, it's critical to keep the veneration and valuing of parents as an element. If one honors one's parents, if one says that I trust them, I believe that they're special, I believe that they have something unique that they're passing on to me, then the tradition, then the chain and the link and the connection of Mesorah is intact. If a child feels that my parents don't have anything to tell me, my parents aren't special, my parents aren't deserving of a great deal of respect, you know, each generation is progressing to a higher level and we're doing better, so there is no anchor, there is nothing linking the child to Sinai, there's nothing linking them to tradition. So if the Aseret HaDivros is the core element of the religion, so the family connection, the nuclear family, the idea that tradition and Mesorah is what defines my values, in order to maintain that and keep that, it's critical that parents be venerated, parents be honored, parents be treated as something special, as a source of wisdom and information and direction and guidance. So we have three reasons so far, and all of them are really valid for why that kibbutz av, honoring parents, ought to be in Aseret HaDivros. One, because it's motivated by hakaras hatov, by an appreciation that you received good, and that's a critical part of our belief system, that a person needs to recognize the good that they've received. Can't be casual and just say, take everything as a given. You have to realize that you came from something. There's a history here. A person exists because someone brought them into this world, a father and mother, and went through all this effort. And if you don't focus on that, and you just think, I'm here because I'm here, and you don't believe in any context, so then the person will have no appreciation for their own context, Which leads to the second element, and as the Sankara said, that then they don't appreciate the context of themselves as a creation of God. If you don't think about yourself in the context of the creation of your parents, you're not going to think about yourself in the context of being a creation of Hashem. And therefore, to model the appreciation of the relationship we have with Hashem, it's critical that there be an appreciation of the relationship with parents. And the third idea mentioned by Wittenberg was the idea of maintaining the Mesorah, keeping the tradition, keeping a sense of there being a chain of history and direction. In order to have that, you need to have to venerate the generation that came before and to esteem them and to say that they have something to tell me, and that's going to direct my life. Not a given. So you're saying there has to be, there needs to be a mitzvah because it's not a presumption that it'll be done. I think we all can recognize that unless it's valued in a society, honoring parents is not something that's going to continue. And it's interesting, like different societies you see now have different, my wife is telling me that she has many people she works with are from India, and there the connection and the respect given to parents is much greater, and she thinks it's because the parents are much more involved in their children's lives even as the children get older. So it's definitely not a given. In the United States, you help a child get to their 18 and then they're on their own, and that impacts the relationship in both ways. So yeah, it's very clear that it's necessary to institute as value kibbutz av. It's not something that's going to happen by itself. Okay, so that's really the first part, that the three good reasons, as you all said, about the why one should respect one's parents. Okay, if you'd like to look at some of the source material that talks about that, on page 6, there's a Sefer HaChinuch that emphasizes the concept that Mrs. Weiss said. The first citation there, it said, it's only appropriate for one to recognize and reciprocate kindness to those who have dealt kindly with him. And listen to how he writes about the opposite. And certainly not to act in a vile manner, estranging oneself and being an ingrate. For this is a bad character trait that's completely despised by both God and human beings. One should appreciate the fact that his parents are the source of his very existence in this world, and therefore appropriate for him to act as respectfully and beneficially as he can. Besides having brought him into the world, they also expended tremendous effort in raising him as a child. That's the first concept, appreciation, hakaras hatov. Same thing with the second citation, the debt of gratitude. And the idea that Mr. Sankar said is really held out, really you see that idea in the Gemara very much. This idea that parents are seen, the idea of honoring parents is connected to honoring Hashem. The Gemara actually says, that draws parallels. The pasuk says, "Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha," honor your father and your mother, and the verse says, "Kabed es Hashem mehonecha," honor Hashem from your resources. And the Mar says, "You see, hishva hakasav kvod avi ve'ivo l'kvod asmo." It made a parallel between honoring one's parents and honoring Hashem. And when it comes to fearing parents or showing reverence to parents, there's a mitzvah to show reverence to parents also, which we'll get into. The Gemara says that also sees a parallel. It says, "Ish imo v'aviv tiro," a person is supposed to fear their father and mother, show reverence and awe. And there's a mitzvah that says, "Es Hashem lokecha tiro," you're supposed to show fear and reverence to God. Again, hishva hakasuv, the pasuk makes a parallel between parents and Hashem in terms of awe and reverence. it also throws in the fact that there are three shulchan, there are three partners in the person. Father and mother and Hashem are considered three partners in the existence of every person. If a person treats his parents with respect, Hashem says, it's as if you treated him with respect. And if you treat parents with disrespect, Hashem says, it's a good thing I'm not living with them, because if I would live with them, they would treat me with disrespect also. So my point is, that the Gemara seems to be saying, drawing a parallel between Hashem and parents, and saying that they're partners, and it sounds like what we're trying to project to parents is akin to what we're trying to project to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Right.
It's definitely necessary. I think that's a good point, that it's not something that's a given. People want to assert themselves vis-a-vis their parents, and if they do so, that would undermine tradition. So to counter that need for independence, so to create the reverence that ensures tradition, this is the third idea, it was necessary to have the sense of parents as an authority to be respected. Okay. So what is the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Em? How does one...
What do you do in a case where a parent is not living with their children, but they're living with evil?
Yeah, so that, we're going to get to that in the end. That's one of the topics. It's actually a discussion if one is obligated to honor a parent who is a Rasha, who's a wicked person. It's Machlokas in the Rambam and the Torah. We'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about what is the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Em? What is the mitzvah of honoring one's parents? Now, if I ask you, what do you think the mitzvah of honoring one's parents is? You might say, what would you say? What's the mitzvah of honoring one's parents? Respecting them. You might say listening to them. And we're going to see whether actually listening to parents is included in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Em. The Gemara says there are two mitzvahs, there are two primary mitzvahs when you come to Kibbutz Av Em. They are mentioned right in the beginning in section 1. Section 3. How to honor one's parents. Now, you have to realize there are two mitzvahs when it comes to honoring parents. One is the one that's in the Aseret HaDibros, Kabed Es Avicha Ve'es Mimecha, honor your father and your mother. And the other one is the mitzvah of Ish Imo Va'aviv Tirou. A man, Ish Imo Va'aviv Tirou, it's in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, that's in brought down citation, section 1, citation 3, Ish Imo Va'aviv Tirou. So, Kabed Es Avicha Ve'es Mimecha, honor one's father and mother, and Ish Imo, a person is supposed to fear or show awe, a reverence to a father and mother. So the Gemara asks this question. It says, how does one fulfill the mitzvah of honoring, and how does one fulfill the mitzvah of reverence, of fear? So this is the section 3, how to honor one's parents, and part 1, part 8, honor. Okay. So how does one honor one's parents? So says the Gemara in Kiddushin, the rabbis taught, Tanu Rabbanan, Ezehu Kibbutz, what does it mean to honor one's parents? Ma'achil, give to eat. U'mashke, give to drink. Malbish, dress. U'mechase, and cover. Machnis, to escort into. U'motzi, to escort out. So, based on that, what does it sound like the mitzvah is? What's Kibbutz? How does one show honor to one's parents? By serving them. Now, you might think that means that the mitzvah is to take care of their needs. But there's a discussion in the Gemara about whose resources are used for feeding and for giving to drink and for dressing. And it's actually a machlokas in the Gemara between the Amoraim, I think Rav Asi and Yehuda, and we paskin, the halacha is that the resources that are used to honor one's parents are the parents' resources. The child is not supposed to, the mitzvah is not to use one's resources to feed the parent, but the mitzvah is to feed the parent with the parent's resources. And I think that that's really a critical, the first reaction might be, oh, you're being cheap, you're not feeding your parents with your own money, using their money to feed them. But I really think it really gives a great insight and understanding in what really the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em is. You see, if a child supporting their parents with their own resources, so that's what it is. It's supporting. It's in a way patronizing. In other words, they're taking care of their parents. Now that is a very important thing, to take care of one's parents. But the mitzvah of kibud, if you get a sense of what it's saying over here, is not so much to make sure they're taken care of, as much as to show esteem and show respect by, like, almost like being a valet, like a waiter would feed someone. Meaning you're serving your parents. You are bringing them in and out. Meaning you're showing the respect as if you're an escort for them. You're getting their clothing ready. You're dressing them like a valet, you know, like someone taking care of their needs. But not so much the point is that you're taking responsibility for their needs as much as you're conveying respect by being physically involved in taking care of them. And it's a subtle difference, because it's very easy to be patronizing, you know, to see the mitzvah is not the role reversal, saying that, oh, parents, you took care of me when I was a child, so now it's time for me to return the favor and to take care of you. That is part of it, but there's a mitzvah even without that. The mitzvah is to show respect, to show esteem, to show that you're a special person, and I'm trying to convey that by my personal involvement in addressing your needs. So then in a way, the fact that it's not done with your own resources, it's done with the parents' resources, really accentuates that. I'm not taking charge, I'm not patronizing, I'm not being taking responsibility. No, I'm showing esteem by serving you. So it's really making yourself into a servant and to serve the parents. Yeah. Well, so right. So based on what the halacha is, the child is not obligated to spend their own resources to feed the parent. That's not the obligation. Now, they do have to, again, if the parent doesn't have resources, then you have to look at the parent as if they were a poor person, and then they need to be helped, and the first poor person you should help is your parent. But if the mitzvah is not primarily to use your own resources. However, time is a resource that one is obligated to use, right? So a person could not say that since I'm not obligated to use my own resources, so then my time is valuable and I'm not obligated to use my time. That you can't say. The issue is the food is supplied by the parents, but the labor, the effort is supplied by the child. There's a famous story, I don't know if it's really happened, but there was once a student in I'm not sure where it was, whatever, in Velazhen Yeshiva, who was speaking to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and asking him, and was talking about going home to visit his parents. And he made the following calculation. He said, well, visiting my parents in this circumstance would be a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, honoring my parents. But, you know, the train fare cost, to get there would cost a certain amount of money. And I know the Mishnah Gemara, the Gemara said, you're not obligated to spend your own money in order to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring one's parents. So then that means I don't have to take the train to go visit my parents. And Chaim said, you know, you're 100% right. You should start walking. Because this doesn't say that a person is not obligated to give up their time, even if the time is valuable. It just says that the resources that are used are the apparent, the mitzvah is not tzedakah. That's what I'm trying to say. The mitzvah of kibud av v'aim is different than the mitzvah of tzedakah in that it's not an idea of giving your resources to your parents. It's the idea of showing them honor and respect by fulfilling their needs physically and being the one who takes care of them, feeding them, giving them to drink, and getting them dressed, bringing them in and out. Yeah. Right. I mean, there's a general question about all mitzvahs, whether one can fulfill them through agency. So, you know, like putting on tefillin, you say you can't say, I'm going to send an agent to put on tefillin for me. So that's really, you're saying you're really hitting on a critical thing. If the mitzvah was to make sure that your parents are taken care of, then the mitzvah would be the outcome. It would be an outcome-driven mitzvah, and therefore, then it would be fulfilled that way. If the mitzvah is showing respect and showing reverence and showing esteem by doing these things, then the mitzvah would be done. It could be there is some esteem that's showed by doing it through an agent, but then like other agents, we say concept it's better to do a mitzvah yourself than with an agent, even if it's an outcome related mitzvah. And if it's a mitzvah that involves physically yourself, I don't know. I think that's a good question. I'm not so sure, because when you're dealing with honor and the relationship, it might depend to some extent on whether they're aware of the role that the child is doing, but I think could be a critical, they're aware that he's doing it, so then there's an expression of honor. But I think you're right, that issue would be impacted by whether the mitzvah is to address their needs or the mitzvah is to show esteem by doing things for them. Yeah.
I'm assuming though that where resources are tight, regardless on the part of the parents, that the son can simply use the mitzvah of tzedakah.
Right, I understand. It says that. It says it very clearly. Yeah, right. I understand. It actually says that if in the Shulchan Aruch it says that if the son's not obligated to use his own resources to honor the parents, but if the parent doesn't have resources, then his first obligation, as it's almost under the category of tzedakah first starts with whoever the mitzvah tzedakah is, whoever one family is first, and obviously parents would be first. Okay, that's kavod. There's another aspect of kavod that this wasn't there in their outline that you have in front of you. So there's a handout that's printed a little differently, so it doesn't have a page number. And the second one there is honoring parents when they're not present. Do they have that? You see that? It's another sheet. It's an addition to the. It's not in the same format as those. It is honoring parents when they're not present. I just wanted to talk a little bit about that because that seems to be another type of honor. So you don't have it.
It's in the back.
It has a page number.
It's on the back.
Okay, on the back of page 22. So it's interesting. I was struck by this Gemara. It's the same. It's a Gemara right before the Gemara that talks about how to honor one's parents by giving them food, feeding them, and giving them to drink and clothing them. It says another thing. It says Tanur Rabbanan. You have it. Our rabbis taught Mechabdo b'chayav u'mechabdo b'moso. He must honor him in life and must honor him in death. You know, honor a parent when they're alive and honor a parent when they're deceased. So it says in life, how does one honor one's parent? So it says an interesting thing. It says, if a person is in a place and they're in need of something, they need some help, some assistance, and they could appeal to the people of that place to assist them in their own merit, and they would assist them. They'd say, please help me, I'm going to fix, I'm so-and-so, and I do such-and-such, and I'm deserving of your help. Or they could ask them to help them in the merit of their parents, and they say, I'm so-and-so's son, and could you please help me for my father's sake? So if he has a choice of what to say, and he would be successful either way, he should choose to say, let me go for my father's sake, or free me for my father's sake, or speed me up for my father's sake, as opposed to saying, do it for my sake. Now, this is interesting to me. The Gemara is saying that this is also a concept of showing honor to parents. Now, this is a little different than showing honor by taking care of their needs, in that, the parent might not even be aware of this, of what's going on over here. What's happening, what seems to say is that if a person has an opportunity to show esteem to other people and to themselves, and to show the esteem that they hold their parents to be in, then they're supposed to take that opportunity and embrace it, to see opportunities. So if you could say to people, who am I? Introduce yourself. Well, you introduce yourself, or you project yourself towards people in the context as a child of other parents, is a way of showing how you define yourself. It's almost as if a person, it's also linked to what we were saying before, is that a person's sense of self and the esteem that they have, their self-esteem, should be linked to the esteem that they hold their parents to be in. Why am I special? Why am I worthy of your consideration? Why am I worthy of your helping me or assisting me or hurrying me? Is because of my parents' sake. Because I'm my parents' child. It reinforces the idea that a person, that kibbutz is a contextual thing, that it defines what a person, how a person is supposed to view themselves in terms, in the context of their link. And it also is an interesting thing in that you see that honoring one's parents is an internal thing also. A person themselves is supposed to feel and express the esteem that they hold their parents in whenever they have that opportunity. And then it continues and says that how does one show respect to parents after their death? So it says if one is saying something that they heard from their parents, something of wisdom, and if their parents have just passed away and they're quoting their parents, they should say, this is what my father said for Abba Mori, my father, my master, Hareni Kaparas Mishkavo, I should be an atonement for his resting. An idea that a person saying that, there's a sense that when a person dies, there's an element of judgment that they go through, a stage of judgment. Judgment has implications. The child is saying, would it be that I could atone for my parents' judgment such that their judgment should be lighter and easier? They only say that for the first 12 months because the judgment of Gehenna is only for 12 months. And after that, you'd say, when you quote a parent, you'd say, may his memory or her memory be for a blessing for the life of the world to come. So here you see an interesting concept that the mitzvah of kibbutz, of honoring one's parents, doesn't only relate to interaction with them, showing esteem in one's interaction with them. It also relates to showing how when one interacts with other people. With other people, that when there's an opportunity to show the value and esteem that one holds one's parents, you have to embrace that opportunity. Say, it's really, if you think about it, it really is very powerful thing. If a person can keep this in mind and actually do it, it really gives opportunities to show honor to one's parents in many, many interactions, in many, many times.
I don't understand how you can be an atonement.
Yeah, that's a good question, yeah. I think that the atonement would be, yeah, that's a good question. I heard that question asked, and I actually heard that it's actually not possible to do, but the point is, what the person's trying to say is, I wish I could, I would like to. because this is really a way to show honor to one's parents. And it's like saying that I'm in touch conceptually with my parents is going through at this time, and would it that I would be able to be in atonement for them. So I saw actually said that it's not, I can't actually do it, but it's something that a person, by saying that they'd like to do it, are conveying the esteem that they hold their parents to be in. Okay, that is, yeah.
For, so to speak, the neshama of the person that passed on to be elevated in...
Right, there's no question that doing something in someone's merit can be a source of elevation for them. And for a lot of reasons, because since they're inspiring you to do it, so therefore they're having an impact after their death. The question was that since it says here a language of kaparas mishkavo, an atonement, the atonement means that a person did something wrong and needs an atonement for that, and therefore that was the question. But definitely true that things that people can do in the merit of someone else who passed away can have an impact on them, and that's very logical because that's something that they're impacting from the grave, because something they did during their life had impact later. When the accounts don't get closed as soon as the person dies, because there's still things going on and things are happening as a result of what they did. And if one of the things they did was to produce progeny that are doing the right things, then that obviously is a source of merit. The question was, the language here is kaparas mishkavo, an atonement, and that was the question that is it possible to accept punishment to atone for someone else's sins? That's like a real complicated thing. But the point is, here, even if it's not possible, it still is a conveyance of honor. And that's the discussion, how to convey honor. The point is that one conveys honor through interaction with the parents, which is, again, not necessarily taking care of their needs. It is taking care of the needs, but not just for the sake of helping them to address the needs, but by doing it, one shows honor. And then also to show other people and oneself the esteem that one feels holds the parents in that they relate to themselves as such, in the context as a child of the parent. That's one mitzvah, the mitzvah of kavod. There's another mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of mora. Mora is, mora, we usually translate mora as fear, but mora is more like showing, they use the word reverence, and that's a good word, awe, reverence. So take a look there. Page 14, part B. So part A was honor, and part B is reverence. What is the mitzvah of reverence? Ish imo v'aviv tirohu. Every person should honor, should fear, show reverence to parents. How do you show reverence to parents? So whereas kavod were positive things that one did, feeding, giving to drink, escorting, dressing, mora is things that one refrains from doing that show irreverence. And what are examples of that? So take a look. The rabbis taught, Ezehu mora, what is mora? Lo omed bimkomo, not standing in his place, lo yoshid bimkomo, not sitting in his place, lo soser svarav, not contradicting his words, lo machrio, and not passing judgment. Machrio means like chiming in. So what do those things mean? Let's see. Lo omed bimkomo means not standing in his place. Sounds to me, you know, that has a literal meaning, standing in his place, but then it says that don't sit in his place, which, what's standing in his place and sitting in his place? So Rashi there says that standing in his place means to take his position. So let's say one's father has a position, let's say as a on the board of the shul, and he's not there that day. So the son says, "I'll sit in for my father. I'll take his position. I'll be a stand-in." Sitting in his place means there's actually in the home there's a place where the father sits or the mother sits. And sitting in that place. And it's the same idea. The idea is that there should be a certain reverence that you're conveying to parents that what they're doing, you can't fill in for. So I'm not equal to my parents. I'm not equal to my parent. I can't stand in for him. He has a place. I can't sit in his place. The next one is lo soser svarav, not to contradict his words. Meaning to say, father says so, and I say so, contradicting his words. And machrio is a little more subtle. Machrio is like when you have scales and you're weighing in. So if your father or mother is discussing something with somebody else, and they have a difference of opinion, and the child says, well, I think like him, even if they're fighting with the parent, according to most commentaries, it's a problem because they're asserting themselves as an equal in opinion to their parent. They're saying, I'm an opinion, you're an opinion, we're all opinions. So that's mora. Mora is showing reverence, and the sense of it is to show that I'm not equal. I can't stand in for my parents. I'm showing myself and expressing that I'm not their equal. Very important. I'm not their equal. That's what relates to calling parents by their first name. Also, it's in halacha discussed because a child should not be showing themselves being equal to their parent. That's the concept of mora. The idea, similar to what we said before, that if the whole idea of kavod and mora is to show a sense of hierarchy, a sense of tradition, a sense of appreciation, this fits very well with the Misora approach, that if a person is looking at the parents as an authority, as the source of their direction in life, and their link to Sinai, so then they're not going to say that I'm as good as they are. It also fits with the other ones. It's the yin and yang. It's the positive way to show reverence by showing that you're special. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do things. I'm going to serve you. And the negative way of showing irreverence by showing oneself to be an equal. Okay. It's an interesting thing that the Gemara has a number of times that asks the question, how far does honoring one's parents go? How far does it go? Hadhechan kibur aveim. How far does it go? And I was also a little surprised I didn't bring this down. If you look in the also in the handout sheet that I put together on the other side, Mark says, how far does honoring one's parents go? So it gives there were like five or six different responses, and three of them focused on a Gentile. And they don't know his name, the Gentile who was famous for honoring his parents. His name was Dama ben Nesina. It was a non-Jew, a Gentile who lives in Ashkelon. And the Gemara three times cites his behavior, really three different versions of what exactly he did, as representing the epitome of honoring one's parents. Because the Gemara asked the question, Ad hechan kibud aveim, how far does one go to honor one's parents? The Gemara says the Rav Tarfon would lean down so his mother could climb on his back to climb up onto her bed. And he went to the rabbis and said, look what I did. Did I do good? And they said that that's not such a trick. You know what's a bigger trick? It's a bigger trick if she embarrasses you publicly and you don't say anything. That's a lot tougher. And therefore they weren't so impressed by his willingness to bow down, to be used as a human stepping stool. But if you can be a wash rag, then if she can do something to you like that and you not say anything, that's something. Another Tana was serving his father and he dozed off and he waited there until he woke up to get another Amar till he gave him something to drink. But the Gemara talks about Dama ben Nesina as an example of how far you're supposed to go. And it says two stories, two similar stories. And both of them were similar in that Dama ben Nesina had an opportunity to earn a lot of money from selling. In one version of the story was he was selling some merchandise which the rabbis were interested in purchasing at a big profit. Another case, he had one of the gems that the rabbis were interested in purchasing for the choshen, for the breastplate of the kohen. And in either version of the story, What happened was the key that would have allowed him access to the stones and to the merchandise was under his father's pillow. And he didn't wake up his father in order to get the key, and thereby lost the opportunity of earning all this money and this tremendous profit in this sale. And the Gemara says this is an example of how far Kibbutz Av can go. And they're all they ask, but you're not supposed to spend your own money, this is his money. So they say maybe it was his father's money, or maybe you still have to give up your own money if it's a question of waking his father up. So there's a lot of discussion. But I was struck with the fact that why is it that the Gemara is giving examples, finding examples of how far the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av came? Why is it finding these examples by this non-Jew, Dava ben Nissina? I mean, it's interesting. It's a, what does that mean that they found an example and the examples of how far you should go in honoring one's parents? You need to know how far. What is the measure of it? And it said it went to it found this example by a non-Jew. What's going on there? Why would that be? Yeah.
I would think it's a Kal
V'Chomer. Right, you think it's a Kal V'Chomer. But if they're looking for the extent, because it's a Kal V'Chomer, because he's not obligated, wouldn't they look for the extent by the people who would be most obligated to do it? Why? I thought it was interesting that they found it in a secular perspective. So I think any thoughts about why that?
God was the partner, whether they're Jewish or not.
Yeah, 100%.
And if this is someone who's not Jewish, how much more so?
Right. That's what Scott was saying. Also, right? It's all the more so. So it provides even an all the more so. But why? Yeah.
I think that we can learn from everyone. Like, you know, I don't remember where I read, like, you learn from the ants. Industrialism, so maybe this is
right. I think you can learn from everyone, but I think it's true. But if you're talking about a mitzvah and how far this mitzvah goes, why is it that they're finding it from someone who? So I think a couple things. I think the message I get from this is that the way the mitzvah is done is really in its best way. It's not really as a mitzvah. In other words, you know, the way the mitzvah should be done is in the context of the relationship almost if you would not have the mitzvah. The way to honor someone is not to honor them, well, I have this mitzvah to honor them, and they're like a lulav that you're shaking, or they're someone that you're utilizing for a mitzvah. The way to see how to show esteem for a parent is to look at someone who's showing esteem not in the context of a mitzvah, and that will show you how one shows respect. And therefore, it was seen that they modeled, they said, let's look and see how one shows respect in the context of a person who's doing it because of their relationship, because they're their parents. How do you show respect for a parent? Not how do you do the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Eim. The Gemara also says very pointed messages about how a person can do the act of Kibbutz Av Eim, honoring one's parents, and ruin the message. And it says a person could be feeding his parents pisioni, pheasant, or some really expensive food, and he could be actually doing it in a manner that undermines the entire mitzvah. Rashi there brings from the Yerushalmi, I think they have it here on the page 16, of a story of a son, page 16, citation 3, a story of a son who was feeding his father really expensive food, and the father asked him, after getting this really expensive food, asked, like, you know, how are you able to get this? Almost like asking, well, how could you afford this? Like, wow, you're really treating me nicely. How can you afford this? And the son told the father, he says, what do you care about my ichbeslach? What do you care? You know, just keep on chewing and be quiet. Where he was telling that, in other words, the son resented the father asking him, and we again told, like, you know, can you afford this, really? You know, and his response was his response was, you know, just be happy that you're getting good food. Just chew and and chew and enjoy, you know. So that was an example of someone who's physically doing the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em, but it's ma'avido min ha'olam. He's losing all his merit, and it's actually a source of a non-merit, because he's showing a lack of respect. He's showing that he really doesn't want to please the father. He's just doing something because of his own esteem. And when the father questions him about it, then forget about the whole thing, and he's ready to be disrespectful to his father. And then on the other hand, it says you can have a case of a child who's actually making the father do work, and the Vi'el Chayilam Abba brings him to the world to come. The example there was an example of a person who, it was a case of a father who, older father, who was called to service by the king, and the son realized that if his father's going to have to go to the king, it's going to be a long period in which he's going to have to serve the king, and it's going to drain him of everything. So the son told the father that, look, I'll go in your stead, but I need you, in order to keep the family alive, to take over the millstone over here. So essentially the son was telling the father to start grinding on the millstone, but he was doing the right thing, because he was doing the thing that was in the interest of the father. So it's not so much what exactly you're doing, as much as whether you're showing care, esteem, and an interest in helping them.
Are we talking about the story about Don Benzina with father? Probably would have said, of course, I want you to take the money, you know, wake me up and make
the
profit.
Yeah.
You know, we'll share it, or,
yeah.
You know, it always struck me as strange.
Right. It might not be halachic. It says the halacha is, if a parent is mochal on his kavod, they have a right to be mochal. But the point of that gemara really was to show how far he was willing to go. It wasn't questioning the halachic response of any of the people. That was an example of how far a person was willing to go to honor his parents.
Your father probably would have beat you if, you know, you didn't make the profit.
Finally, it wasn't the father's money. I presume it was Dhamma Benesina's money. I think that was his thing, and he forwent the profit in order to do that. There's something that you might notice. Okay, let's look a little bit more. Section 4, it deals with the question of what areas are not in the realm of honoring one's parents or fearing one's parents. Now, if a parent gives a directive that runs counter to halakha, let's say a parent says to be mechal al Shabbos, a parent says, I want you to do something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, a malacha on Shabbos. And let's add to the case that the parent's not just asking the son or child to do it maliciously because he wants him to violate the law, because then he might be a Rasha, and then maybe we get into that other discussion. The parent is asking him to cook for him. In other words, it's really under the rubric, under the category of doing something for the parent, but it happens to be Shabbos. So the parent is asking the son or the daughter to cook something for them on Shabbos. So there's a mitzvah of honoring one's parents, and then there's an avera of profaning Shabbos by cooking. Now they cook on Shabbos. So it's not so simple. The Gemara had to learn this out from a pasuk. The pasuk in Kedoshim says, "Ish imo va'aviv tiro." A man is supposed to fear their father and mother, and then it says, "V'es Shabbos sosai tishmoru," but you should still guard the Shabbos. From that juxtaposition, we say that even though you're supposed to honor one's parents, father, or mother, but still you have to keep the Shabbos. If the kulchanim chayav mechlodi, you're all tied in my honor. So there, in that case, the person's not supposed to listen to the parents, but supposed to adhere to the halacha, which makes a certain amount of sense. I mean, you know, we are governed by our mitzvahs of Hashem, and that, just like the Gemara uses a certain logic, it says, well, you're supposed to honor your father or mother, but your father and mother are supposed to honor Hashem. So if you do the math, so therefore your obligation to honor Hashem has precedence over your obligation to honor your parents, because your parents themselves are obligated to honor Hashem. And therefore, one doesn't have to listen to one's parents. There was this tshuva from the Rosh, of Rabbeinu Usher, a medieval commentary. He someone wrote him a question. He said that a child, a parent, had a vendetta with someone, and they wanted the child to maintain the vendetta. In other words, he's saying that we don't talk to the, the two families. We don't talk to the Joneses, right? Therefore, I expect you to follow in the family tradition and to maintain that vendetta. And his question was, you know, I want to honor my parents. My father doesn't want me to be on friendly terms with these people. Am I allowed to listen to him? And he said, no, you're not allowed to listen to him, because he felt this is an example of a father giving a directive that the child involves being violating an avera. You're not allowed to hate people. You're not allowed to maintain a fight. You're not allowed to hold a resentment. There are violations of law and lo tases in the Torah. Therefore, you can't listen to the parent in that case. But what about other things? What about neutral things? So, for example, let's say a parent has a request of a child that doesn't fall under any of these neat categories. In other words, it's not serving the parent. It's not showing esteem by what you do. On the other hand, you're not showing irreverence either. It's just a question of the parent telling you to do something that doesn't even relate to him. Okay. Right. Put on a scarf, it's cold outside. Right. Or you know, I want you to vote Democratic. Or something that doesn't relate to them. Or we'll get to this case, let's say he says, I don't want you to marry that woman. You know, is there an obligation for a child to listen to their parent? So here also it's not so simple. There's a Ramban, Nachmanides says that the only mitzvah of honoring a parent is with things that relate to the parent. Things that don't relate to the parent, there's no mitzvah of honoring a parent. To listen to them with things that doesn't relate to them, to their self-interest. It has nothing to do with them, so there's no mitzvah of honoring a parent in that case. That's what he says. He says, if a parent tells a son to do something, he doesn't have a direct mitzvah to listen to them. On the other hand, there is the Maharal writes that he has an interesting point. He says that, you know, there are two mitzvahs, we said. There's mitzvah of kavod, of feeding and giving, doing things, and mitzvah of mora, of showing awe and showing reverence. But he said that you could have, the Maharal said, you can have cases that are both. The Gemara is only giving these examples of honor and mora when they are exclusive of each other. Each one is mora only and honor only. But you can have a case of mora that's also kavod. So he says, if a parent asks a child to do something for them, he really has two obligations to do what he's asked. One is to take care of their needs, to serve them. And the other thing is, to ignore the request of a parent is a violation of mora. It's irreverent to dismiss a request from a parent. So he says, even though if you look in the Gemara doesn't give this as an example of kavod and mora. It said kavod was feeding, and mora was don't sit in his seat, and don't all these negative things. But refraining from doing what he asks you to do, says the Maharal, is also mora, because that's very irreverent. It's not showing respect to dismiss what a parent wants you to do. So really we have these two different streams of opinions about whether one is obligated to listen to a parent in an area that does not relate at all to the parent. The Ramban seems to say he's not, and the Maharal seems to say that it gets caught under the category of mora, of showing reverence, because not to listen is showing irreverence. So I guess it, you know, how do you weigh this? The case of the marriage issue was a tshuva that was brought forward to Marik. Rabbi Yosef Cologne, who actually lived in Cologne in the 16th century, was asked this question. He said, the case was, that was brought to him, was a son who wanted to marry a woman, and the father disapproved. Now, he gives a little background there. The father disapproved for pretty good reasons, because there was a whole salacious story, there was background, there was this son had been accused of having committed adultery with this woman when she had been married before, and then she was divorced. And the father said, this is a disgrace for our family for you to marry this woman and to bring back whatever it is that went on. So that was the question that he posed to the Maharik, Rabbi Yosef Kalon, and asked him, do I have to listen to my parents about not marrying this woman? And he said, you do not have to listen to them. And he said three possible reasons. One reason he gave, which maybe you could remember, one reason he gave was, he said, you don't have to listen because we said before, whose resources does one have to honor one's parents with? The parents. Is one obligated to utilize their own resources in order to adhere to parents' wishes? No. So he said, for you to give up your happiness is giving up your greatest resource. And you're not obligated to give that up for kibud av. Kibud av doesn't extend to giving up your own money. If kibud av doesn't extend to giving up your own money, surely it doesn't extend to here. He says like this, even with regards to money, we paskin that you don't have to use your own resources. So surely when it's an issue of pain and to leave the woman that he wants to marry, and he'll have to marry another woman that he doesn't want to so much, that pain he's not obligated to endure, and therefore he's not mechuyev to listen to his parents. That was argument number one. Argument number two is really romantic. He said that you're not obligated to listen to one's parents to violate a law of the Torah. And, you know, we had learned this more in Kedushin, it says that it's prohibited to marry someone sight unseen, because it's possible that the person will be disappointed and they'll end up hating the person. And the Torah says you're supposed to love your neighbor like yourself, the Hakal Racha Kamocha. So the mitzvah to love another person means don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be married to someone who you're going to resent. So therefore you're not allowed to marry someone sight unseen. So he said, for you to marry someone who you don't want to, you want to marry A, and you're going to end up marrying B, is an avera. And therefore, you're not obligated to listen to your parents when they're telling you to do an avera. That was his second argument. And his third argument was, based on the Ramban, that in general, in areas that don't relate to the welfare of the parents, in terms of their physical needs, you're not obligated to listen to the parents. In this case, I understood it's a little interesting because it does relate to the parents' sense of their honor and esteem because they're going to be embarrassed by this marriage. But this is how he felt. So Marik says, for these three reasons, a person is not obligated to listen to parents who are discouraging him from marrying a certain woman. And this is brought in halacha in Shulchan Aruch. This halacha is brought down. I think they have it here. If you take a look, must I always listen to mom and dad? 20, page 20. The Rama quotes it. First citation, marriage. If the father protests against the son marrying a specific woman that he wishes to marry, the son does not need to listen to his father. The thing is, this Rama is really quoting, this is how halacha works, that he's citing the Marik that I just told you. So he's accepting the response that the Marik gave to that person, but he doesn't tell us which of the three reasons is the reason that he's accepting. In other words, we don't know, Marik gave three reasons for why a person might not be obligated to listen to a parent in terms of a question of who to marry. One reason he gave was because it's his own loss. Another reason he gave was because it's an avera. And the third reason he said was because it doesn't relate to the father's interest, and therefore you're not obligated in such a place. And the Rama just cites the Marik and says, I hold like him, but he doesn't say which reason is the reason why he holds of him. So it leaves us a little bit in a quandary about whether one's obligated to listen to one's parents in areas that do not relate to the parent's self-interest at all. I would say that this probably has to come out with some type of balance of the svaris, the logic that the Maharal said, that if it's really showing irreverence, there's the two things to go together. The more arbitrary the not listening is, the more it's without a good reason, the more irreverence is being showed. The more reason that the person has for not wanting to listen to the parents, the more justified that is, the less irreverence is being showed. And therefore, in the scheme of things, he might not be obligated to listen. Okay, so that's pretty much it here in terms of the mitzvahs of Kibud Av V'Em. It was very educational to learn these things. The idea is that the mitzvah is to show esteem in all ways, and that one should use opportunities to show esteem. And the idea that it's really serving the parents as opposed to patronizing the parents. And this, this is something that I just brought my parents to the airport because they left Atlanta now to go back to Baltimore. And I know that I've learned that lesson, that being independent and being able to do for yourself is a value that they have. And as a child, our job is not necessarily to make everything taken care of. They can take care of themselves. Our job is to show respect, and a lot of times the best way to show respect is by adhering to a parent's wishes. And that's really the way to show respect, as opposed to saying, we'll take care of everything, just sit down and we'll take care of it. So these are lessons that we all need to learn. I'll just at least stop and finish with one little thought. It says in the mitzvah of Kibud Av is associated with long life. And the Charedim says that the reason why you have this mitzvah, why there's a reward of long life associated with honoring one's parents, is because a person feels conflicted in the time that they devote towards parents. In fact, they feel the mitzvah, they want to do this, but it takes time and effort. And therefore there's a promise that, don't worry, when the person honors their parents correctly, they'll merit long life, and therefore they shouldn't be concerned that they don't have enough time to actually fulfill the mitzvah, because it's in the long run they'll end up benefiting in terms of time, because they'll get the reward of long life. And one last thing, this was very very telling, and that is in the pasuk of Moreh, it starts out in the singular, ish imo v'aviv tiro, ish, every person, imo v'aviv, his mother and his father, tiro, you all, plural, should fear. So why does it start out with the singular and end up with the plural? So the Gemara actually learns from there that the obligation of honoring parents applies to women as much as it applies to men, and with certain qualifications for a woman whose husband insists that she lives somewhere else, etc. But there's a drash I saw it in this thing, that the reason why it says plural is because if a person honors their parents, the result is that there will be many people being honored. Because when children see their parents honoring their grandparents, so then they'll understand themselves that they'll be modeling honoring parents to their own children, and thus they'll be honored also. So each imovav, of each person, when they fear or show reverence to parents, tiro, then you will all be honored and all have reverence, because your children will see how you treat your parents and they'll treat you the same. Okay, that's it.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.